가슴을
가슴아. 딱 구두마 가슴 시원한 시래 아니 좋아 아니 지 두시 아니 삼바 일하세요
So we looked at the five omnipresent mental factors, right? So in short, they are feeling, discrimination, intention, attention, and contact. So those are the five omnipresent mental factors.
동화, 나나, 아니 대화, 나나, 저와 다녀, 그래서 다녀마도 없이, 난 염수 용해시다. 대라 저와 스네시아지.
So, feeling is that which experiences suffering, happiness, or feelings can be neutral, right?
대신 드네마 아니지 그렇습니다. 뉴시에서도 가라 다 유지 뭐 투머만이 붙지 말지니시라 다 뉴시에서.
Discrimination is that which apprehends the uncommon sign or the uncommon entity of an object.
대신 삼바스도 가라 아니지 다. 세티 아니 유라 바 요르시니시라 다 삼바세시.
Intention is that which moves the mind to an object.
아니 지다 아니 유라 잡아서도 가라 세티 유이텔라 대발 잡아서 이텔라 대발 잡아서다.
Attention is that which directs the mind to an object.
어떻게 되냐마 다 레파스도 가나 아니 싫다 심지 유라 채발증이시 다 진지 지레신기다 심지 채발에 유라 채발증이시다
and contact functions to enable the mind you know, to meet you know with to actually meet with an object, yeah.
독신에 제가 가서 시원하시네. 나 저 심지 인사도 가나, 심지 인사도 가나, 코컬라 군동아 흉대내지. 제가 갔다 심 간지지 있나요? 코컬라 다 군동아 흉대내지. 어디 숨겨야래? 제가 갔다 군동아기 나 그랑 질레 심중 소속이 다 몸에 나와도 없이 롭수시다. 잡아도 없이 신고하시 어디래?
So a main mind is necessarily accompanied by these five omnipresent mental factors. It doesn't matter what kind of main mind. If it is a main mind, it's necessarily accompanied by these five omnipresent mental factors. Yeah. So from your side, you just have to have a kind of rough idea of what these five omnipresent mental factors are and what kind of functions they perform.
어떻게 했다? 내가 가서 아니지. 더 유리냐? 수도가나 아니지. 등반 뭐 참바 등은 실 없습니다. 유리냐? 아니다. 뒤고래다.
Then we started looking at the five object ascertaining mental factors. Yeah. And the five object ascertaining mental factors are aspiration, belief, mindfulness, meditative stabilization, and wisdom.
어떻게 다 가끔 등받에 들어 다 등받수도 아니지 갔어나 삼배 뭐 가야로 가는 맨날 다 단두 일회 다 심중지 체비어래.
So it is a so aspiration is a knower that focuses on a desired object and wishes you know, to be endowed with it. You know.
다 돈다 다 다랑 유지 다 튼튼 예배로 시작해 다 뜸바스도 가나 다랑 유태 튼튼 예배로 시작.
So basically, aspiration is a mind that seeks, and seeks or desires a particular object.
어떻게 되냐면 다 뭐바스도 가나 다 돈다 랑기 율티 냐바세시다 톤다 틴데도 차교하래 랑기 냐바스다.
And belief is essentially an ascertainment of an object. Yeah.
가서 시원한 시래 아니지 다 랑기 다 세면냐 반냐스면 텐디라 다 다가랑래 했습니다. 냐 반냐 별로 심으로 봐서 냐 반냐 봐 심으로 봐. 다 들은 뭐 봤습니다.
So. Belief is essentially a mind which holds or apprehends an object that has been ascertained by its valid cognition. Yeah, and it holds on to this object, you know, by thinking that it is as it is just like this, and not otherwise.
Yeah. 당은 학벌도 아니지 가르스나 학벌도 렌텔라 매바 수도갈라 다 돈다니 렌테 아니 출신 렌테가 넘어서 출신도 다 시험받 치지 아니 다 당원에 다 중년 시험받 낭신 대낭신 세샤 인다 지금 다 녀바녀바 놓치고 해야지 계지 못해야 돼 뒤여봐이나 아니지 다 바꾸 계획 취업 탐지 아니 자와차야 된대 뒤로와 어디 숨어도 와
So belief is very important, especially having belief in karma and its effects. Yeah, belief in karma and its effects, you know, is the very root of all wholesome qualities.
Takkan show nasib le, benar tak lendela tosam cece, benar tosam cece, ani cik tak lendekin namsha, ani cik thala tak tunjuk tosam jawa yang cukup ya le, kerana tunjuk tosam jepit ting le, ani yang jawa dubtu le tiung le, tak jele show tu jawa, ani cik tak lendekin namsha tosam cebal ting le, ani cik tak isu jinde jitu le, kerana tak. 그래서 똑바로 신시다 이슈 고아야 부신이더래. 다 딜라 때네 양. 그래서 렌데가 남자 출신도 빵랑 치더래. 딜레 비타고 두고 이거래. 난 다가 남신 딜레 자주는 딜레 안지. 받침에 냐바냐바시 렌데가 남자 아스도다. 조조. 준세나 때네 냐바 냐고 이거래. 렌데가 남자디. 그러고 안지. 준세 망고 삼당네. 다. 대니베다 가당 수주바나 신 잡아 참았다. 세메 다 진짜 양 다 발랐대네 다 전직 똑배서 잡아 참아서 깨투나 아니 원했을까 렌데라 똑도 매매 대바셔야지 그러고 깬 간지인 똑 못해 아니 냠냠 가르쳐봐 있나요 원해 비타보 아니 전다 대바 용도 매 어떤 해설을
So it is important to gain an ascertainment of karma actions and its effects, its consequences through the process of learning about it and then reflecting on it. Yeah. So through the process of hearing and to learning about karma and its actions and then reflecting on it, it is possible to develop, you know, to entertain some kind of qualms about karma. But you know, but you may then start to, you may have some doubts, but it can be a doubt that tends towards the fact. Yeah. Okay. So on basis of that, you know, then through further learning and then reflection, you know, and then if you can gain a correctly assuming consciousness in relation to this karma and its effects, you gain a correct assumption, you know, which is kind of like a realization. Yeah. It's like a realization, right? And having this correct assumption or this correct belief, you know, in karma and its effects, you know, can help us to basically live a life and do a practice, you know, that is basically based on this belief in karma and its effects. Yeah. And of course, if one can get, one can gain a valid cognition, yeah, of karma and its effect. That's the best, isn't it? Right? And that comes, and you know, remember we talked about an inferential cognizer. So, you know, if you can generate an inferential cognition, which is a valid knowledge, isn't it? If you can generate a valid an inferential cognition of karma and its effects, by independence upon correct logic and reasoning, then that kind of faith in karma that you acquire will be very stable and irreversible. With that kind of irreversible faith in karma and its effects, then you know, one's practice will be greatly enhanced, right? And one will achieve the goals of one's practice. So in this context, you know, here when we're discussing the mental factor of belief in the context of the five object ascertaining mental factors, isn't it? Right? So let's say belief in karma and its effects. The belief that we are talking about here is not just having some belief, you know, in the usual English sense of the word, and just some faith, you know, some belief. Yeah. But what is the belief here in this context? It is a knower that has been is a knower that which holds the object that has been ascertained by a valid cognition. You know. That means that the object that you have the object of the mental factor of belief is something that has been ascertained, realized by a valid cognition. And belief basically holds on to this object as it is ascertained by a valid cognition to be as it is, just like that, and not something else. So it's not just mere, just kind of some kind of, you know, faith or some kind of, you know, in the normal English sense of the word, just some belief, you know, yeah, maybe, you know, yeah, that kind of thing, you know. Not easy,
yeah.
So, belief is a mind which possesses three features, right? So the object of this mind, the first feature, the object. What is the object of this particular mind? This knower. The object is something that has already been ascertained. Something that you have already realized. Then, what about the aspect, the subjective aspect of this knower? It holds on to this object and believes it, just holds on to it and thinks that it is just like that and not something else. Yeah. And what is the function then? The function of this particular knower. What is the function of belief? Its function is non-captivation,
yeah.
Because belief is a mind that holds on to something, to an object that has already been realized or ascertained, been determined by a valid cognition. Therefore, it's impossible for you to change your mind about that object because you've realized it as it is, you know. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you hear, what people say, what kind of conditions, you know, you meet, you know, you will not sway. You will not be captivated, basically, by those arguments or views, right? So this is the function of non-captivation, basically. So belief is very important, in particular for spiritual development, isn't it? Here, training our minds, practicing the Dharma, yeah. Because once you've ascertained something through valid conviction, and you hold on to that and that realization, you know, of course, then you know, whatever practice you do, you achieve the purpose, isn't it? The goals, right? But in general, basically, belief is so important, isn't it? In whatever we do in life, you know, you need this kind of belief, yeah.
What in the show that teacher do energy maba said that maba no chishin ni chi ayus na karasu maba no chishin
chishi
ko ni chaba yuna na su ta ko
is there a difference between belief and a subsequent cognizer a knower that knows or knower that realizes what has already been realized, right?
Any different?
Mubalaya yore.
Do you think you can lose a valid cognizer? Can a valid cognition of something be lost? Of course.
You believe
it's a cup, yeah.
You don't believe this is your cup, no? not necessary.
Can you not believe in your possessions? You'll be wonderful, I think. Like.
Believe, isn't it? You lost your cup, then you look every and go every place, then you pound this on, you see everywhere, then you believe, oh, this is my cup. No? When you believe, then you take the cup, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, now, 지금까지 집어 지금 말하고 한 삼억 원에 당나야 거야. 지시라. 네. 이지민지 가서 알아보게. 섬중 행복 말아봐. 너와. 너와. 슬림 요축으로 지시로. 나는 뭐 봤어도 이제 봐도 섬중 행복해.
Well, then they're not the same, right? Well, because subsequent cognizers can be a main mind. Of course, there are subsequent cognizers, there are mental factors. Yeah? But if it is a belief, it is necessary the mental factor, yeah. And belief is not a knower that realizes something that has already been realized. It's not realizing, it's just holding on to the object, you know, and believing that it is that and not something else. Right? So this is different, yeah. Belief is different from a subsequent cognizer, yeah. Which is kind of realizing the object. Okay. Next is the mental factor of mindfulness. So according to Arya Sangha's Compendium of Knowledge, mindfulness is a non-forgetfulness of the mind with respect to a familiar object. It has the function of non-distraction. Just as it has been said above, mindfulness is a knower that possesses three features. The three features are objective feature, a familiar object, the subjective or the aspect or feature, a non-forgetfulness upon having observed that object, and the function, what is the functional feature, non-distraction.
Okay.
First, an explanation of the objective feature. So the object of mindfulness is a familiar object. So why is this so? Since mindfulness is not produced with respect to that which has not been previously familiarized with, the objective feature is stated as a familiar object. So since you cannot have mindfulness, you know, with respect to something that with respect to an object that you are not familiar with, you know. Yeah. So mindfulness basically is not forgetting, yeah, not forgetting that object. Yeah. So you cannot have mindfulness, you know, with respect to something that you're not familiar with. Okay, so next, even though the mind might have previously familiarized itself with an object, If it does not presently dawn as an object of the mind, then mindfulness will not occur. So therefore, the aspect feature is specified as non-forgetfulness, yeah, of the mind.
어떻게 되냐마 아니 전파 차버진 때네 샘네 코네 콘도 표 CBS는 지리 차버 미유에 대한 어떻게
Then an explanation of the function of mindfulness. Since the stability of the mind is enhanced in dependence upon special mindfulness, its functional feature is specified as that of non-distraction.
어떻게냐마 다 그렇으나 다 전파 지심이
So next, a couple of quotations from Aryanagarjuna and Shantideva, yeah, basically just highlighting or stating basically the importance of mindfulness. So the engaging in the Bodhisattva deeds says, even though a learned, faithful, and diligent in effort, many become tainted by downfalls due to committing the fault of lacking introspection. So this particular verse, although it is talking specifically manifestly about introspection, but it's also highlighting also the importance of mindfulness. Yeah. So mindfulness and introspection, or sometimes translated as vigilance. So these two are very important. Yeah. As the verse says, you know, even though one may be learned, you have a lot of faith, and you're hardworking. You know, but if one does not know the essential points of the practice, you know, how to practice, you know, then you know, one can be tainted or by various downfalls and faults, you know, as a result of lack of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Though they have amassed merit, it is pilfered by the thief of non-introspection, who follows upon the degeneration of mindfulness. Then they proceed to a bad migration or bad rebirth. So if one loses mindfulness of a virtuous object of observation, so if we forget, you know, to place the mind, to focus the mind on a virtuous object, and then if the mind forgets that virtuous object, and when this mindfulness degenerates, then all the merit that one may have amassed may decline. Yeah, and as a result, then you know, one may go to the lower realms.
What did they say? That didn't mean you must chung kun so that is not the so cheva des lany kun get to sing then the so jam jamasis.
And this ban of thieves, the afflictions, looked for an opportunity. Upon finding an opportunity, it pilfers my virtue and even destroys the life of a good migration. So
when we forget,
you know, when we lose mindfulness of a virtuous object. Yeah, so if we forget to place our mindfulness on a virtuous object, we forget. You know, and then, you know, in its place, all kinds of afflictions will come, yeah, and they come readily. Yeah. So once we lose focus on what we forget, you know, once in this moment we forget, you know, to focus our mind on a virtuous object, yeah, that's what happens. You know, all the afflictions come readily to take their its place. Yeah. And due to that, you know, our merit and virtues decline. You know.
What does he? That teacher by now, any sector, then do yeah, any sector, demotor, or this one.
And when our virtues are stolen by the afflictions, then we will not be able to obtain a good rebirth. So therefore, mindfulness should never be displaced from the door of the mind. If it does go, recalling the anguish of bad migrations, place it back.
So there are a couple
of quotations are basically talking about the great importance of mindfulness. Yeah, the great importance of not forgetting to focus the mind on virtuous objects. Yeah, right. Because from when not so you are reminded not to forget, you know, to do that and to focus the mind on virtuous objects. Yeah, so. If we find that our mindfulness has indeed degenerated or is degenerating, then we must recall, you know, the sufferings of the lower realms. You know, thinking that oh, if I forget to place my mind on virtue, this is what will happen to me. Yeah? And with that, you know, then put the mind back again. You know, yeah, put your mindfulness back again, or put your mind, you know, back again on a virtuous object.
What did they say? That Nema, Temba, Lamatan, Tobale, and Chimbo Jesu, Tembatan, Jibical, and Kushima, Temba Della, Nitokis, or Tosita, Benata, Chicken, that chicken gave a shingin up to the Teneja, and Temba Della to get away, or Tosumusura.
So due to association with spiritual teachers, the teachings of the abbot and fear, fortunate ones who act respectfully easily generate mindfulness. So this verse highlights also, it lists the external conditions for generating mindfulness. So an external condition is the virtuous friend, the guru. Yeah. So mindfulness and introspection are extremely important for developing good qualities, yeah. And they are said to be, you know, indispensable. Shantideva says, let my gain and honor, my body and livelihood vanish. Let even my other virtues degenerate, but may my mind never degenerate. I urge you, and in Tibetan actually, I think it's always mentioned today, I remember. I urge you, you know, I put my palms together, you know, I plead, I put my palms together. Those of you who wish to guard in their minds, guard your mindfulness and introspection, even at the cost of your lives. So, yeah, basically, the Shantideva is advising us to rely on mindfulness and introspection always to guard the mind. So just like as we would normally protect or guard our possessions, you know, and body and so forth. You know. And likewise, you know, we must also protect our minds and guard our minds with mindfulness and introspection. So between protecting our bodies and protecting our minds, you know, so it is said that protecting our minds or guarding our minds is more important. So if you think about it, you know, from whatever angle you think about it, you know, you understand how important it is to protect the mind with mindfulness and vigilance. Yeah, because you know, if you compare physical suffering and mental suffering, I think mental suffering is more difficult to bear. Yeah. And which is greater, physical bliss, physical or mental bliss? I think mental bliss is more important. Yeah, and it is not the body that goes on to the next life. It is the mind that goes on to the next life. And it is the mind that determines what kind of rebirth we will get in our next lives. Yeah. And it is the mind that moves on from life to life. Yeah. So no matter how, from whatever perspective you look at it, yeah, so you understand how important it is to guard, to protect the mind.
So
미디 독자들은 누비전에 잡아지고 영화네. 조조 심기동네. 나 심 상부지나 미디 약보랬어요. 미디가 심 주부지나 미디 약보 말했어요. 조조 개발지원 시도 탈도 받이 심나 두고도 봐. 알아봐. 세상다 심 순간 계신 거죠.
How do we differentiate between a good person and a bad person? The difference is not made prior, and it's not made based on some differences in how they look physically or the size of the bodies and what have you, but rather we differentiate or we distinguish a bad person from a good person by virtue of the state of their minds, isn't it? Yeah. Essentially, a good person is different from a bad person because he or she has a better quality of mind. Yeah. More good-hearted, for example.
Right.
So, when we say we love somebody, when we show affection for somebody, or we like somebody, we are liking the person, yeah. And the person is more to do with the person's mind, yeah. Of course, the mind is there in the body, yeah. But essentially, I mean, if you think about it, although we don't say it, but you know, I mean, because the person is alive, and the person is alive precisely because the mind, the consciousness is still in the body, and because of that, and then we say we like the person, we show affection for the person, and so forth, yeah. But when the person has left the body, when the person is dead, and the mind is not in the body, I mean, if you look at the body, I mean, you don't have that same kind of affection or love, isn't it? In fact, you may be scared, yeah? It's like, you know, you look at the body and you get, so.
So
the essential point is this, yeah. The state of the mind is so important, isn't it? So important. Therefore, it's really important to guard and to protect the mind. And just as we put a lot of effort into protecting our bodies, yeah. So, in fact, Shantideva is saying that we should put more effort, in fact, into guarding our minds, yeah. And Shantideva urges us, no, implores us, no, he pleads with us. In fact, in Tibetan, he says, I put my palms together and I request, no, you, no, please, no, guard your mind, yeah. So, and we are, you know, this discussion of mindfulness is mainly in the context of a virtuous mind, yeah. The mental factor of mindfulness in the retinue of a virtuous mind, since it's so important to guard the mind, it's so important to place the mind on a virtuous object, yeah. So what allows us to do that is the mental factor of mindfulness. So therefore it's important to understand what is mindfulness. It is also very important to understand the importance of mindfulness,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with good mindfulness and introspection, then one can achieve Tingye Zin. It's translated here as meditative stabilization. Sometimes translated as concentration. It seems that they can be used interchangeably, but I'm not sure. But the Tibetan word here is Tingye Zin. Okay. So it's translated as meditative stabilization here. So this is a difficult point for a lot of translators. Everybody don't seem to agree which to use for what. Basically, there's two words, Tingye Zin and Samten. So the translation for these two are used interchangeably by almost every translator. So that's a so anyway.
Okay.
So according to Arya Sangha's Compendium of Knowledge, Tingye Zin, meditative stabilization here, is a one-pointedness of the mind with respect to an imputed thing. It has the function of acting as the support for knowledge. So, meditative stabilization, Tingye Zin, is a one-pointedness of the mind that within observing an imputed thing is continuously set upon it. So, meditative stabilization is a knower which also possesses three features. Yeah. So, the first one, the objective feature, or in simple English, what is the object of this mind? Yeah. So, the object of meditative stabilization is specified to be an imputed thing. What is the aspect of meditative stabilization? It is single pointedness. So what is the function of meditative stabilization? It functions to develop wisdom. Why is the object of meditative stabilization specified as specified to be an imputed thing? It is specified to be an imputed thing because when cultivating meditative stabilization, one holds the mind to an object of observation that is imputed by the mind. So there's the four types of objects here. Objects or observation that is used for developing meditative stabilization. So these four objects, or the four types of objects. So you have objects of observation for purifying behavior, objects of observation for purifying afflictions, pervasive objects of observation, and objects of observation for skill. So,
다 전다 전다 티래 다 저번 저번 남중에 미바 세디 조조 갈수나 갈수가 다 소수교라 다 변화 독숨 변화 다 니모 독숨 강치마치 다 니모 독숨도 도자시아당 대모 맞아 다 남도 가르치에 다시 치지 아니 대라빠베 코랑도 님보시 된지 코랑 코랑 카톡이다 님보레 된지 검지해야 된다 다 돈다
So, objects of observation for purifying behavior. What is purifying behavior? So, one looks, we look into our own minds, and we look at our own afflictions, and observe which is predominant, whether it is anger, attachment, pride, and so forth, you know. So, you know, by observing whichever is predominant, then, you know, we apply the antidote to that particular affliction.
Yeah.
If the afflictions are too strong, it will be difficult, yeah, to develop single-pointedness of mind. Even if we try, very difficult, yeah. So first, we have to purify the behavior. So this is what it means, and to look at which affliction is predominant, and then apply the respective antidote. For example, if one's predominant delusion or affliction is desire, attachment, then one can meditate on ugliness. If anger is the issue, then meditate on love. If ignorance is a problem, then we reflect on dependent arising. If pride is an issue, then we bring to mind the whole list of things that in this universe that we have no idea about and we do not know. You know. Or if we have a lot of discursive thought, you know. We say namdok in Tibetan, it's a very, very interesting word. Discursive thought, basically, that kind of stuff. So then it is said that we can meditate. Meditate on the breath, you know, by focusing our minds on our breathing. So objects of observation for purifying the afflictions. Purifying afflictions here means trying to purify or getting a hold of the manifest afflictions. By doing a meditation on shira, basically by observing, the next higher realm, observing and looking at the good qualities, and the good qualities of the higher realm, and how the state of the current realm, the qualities are not as good as the one above it, yeah? And how rough it is, how coarse it is as compared to the one above it, you know? And so forth. And then so that's basically such a meditation, yeah. 시비라.
내 힘이 더 줄어서.
와.
나는 또 감옥 말아나 빠따게
하고. 네.
감옥 말아 시원다지. 어떤 데 있다 내다. 내 뒤에 뜬다가 나 힘 내 힘이 더 줄어. 와. 고네.
네. So yeah. So there's this meditation where you look at the, your current realm as a cause, as a, not as a inviting as the realm above yours. You know, by looking at the realm above yours as wow, that's really good, so peaceful, how nice. You know, if I can achieve that kind of state. You know, so and also similarly, there's meditation on the 16 aspects of the. Four noble truths.
What in the shirt in a mata, Kibi Mipa said, is also Kasorta. That's also Tinimendo, that Kasona, that's also Kasantame, then a pen, that Tinimendo Kibi Mipa said.
Damila,
Dame Comet, Consagatam, Chukitam, Tindi Comet, Kibi Mipa Sigin, then that Kasora. 네, 답변은 풍보든 감당 진지하게 땡나 답변다 답변다 나 여담에 쓴 답도 주담 맞고 쓰니 진대겠다 선로 땅치 권해 신고를 하다 기분 밑바슨 진대면으로
So I guess pervasive objects of observation is to do with selflessness, yeah. Selflessness of persons and selflessness of phenomena. For example, meditating on checking whether the self exists on the body, on the aggregates or not.
어떤데 시리셔다 개비 미과선에 다 주어 탐자다 또 개비 미과선에 다 주어 탐자라 자다 그래서 또 개비 미과선에 시 탐자라 자 어떤데 시리셔
담아디요. So then
잡았어요.
잡아 잡 잡라
잡아. 당기 개비 미과선에 도와.
당기 개비
잡아. 네 잡아 가서 기 뭐 가서 기.
당기네 당이 광이네.
네. 네. I thought Kimumji was talking about the pervasive objects of observation. So the object of observation of skill for develop for skill is to do with meditation on selflessness. Yeah. So that's kibi mikpa. Whereas the pervasive object is kibi mikpa. So yeah, pervasive objects of observation refers basically to all existence or phenomena. Basically, you can posit any object, to be the object of observation for meditative stabilization. Yeah.
어, 독신이 제가 다양 가서래. 자꾸 배다 다가 나시는 데는 마야 쓰보시는 순간 시간 가르치나 땡인진 배나 땡인진 두배기 소디
So one important thing that is mentioned here that it's about meditative stabilization in relation to the mental consciousness. Yeah. Meditative stabilization is not produced in sense consciousnesses. Rather, it's an activity of the. It is produced, you know, in the mental consciousness. So therefore, you don't produce concentration in eye consciousness. So therefore. The form, the visible form that appears to an eye consciousness, that visible form is not what you posit to be object for developing meditative stabilization. So it is said that we do not develop concentration just by staring at something, you know, without closing the eyes, and then just focusing your mind without being distracted from that cup, you know, let's say, you know, or whatever, you know, just, you know, that is not how one develops a meditative stabilization. So the object of observation for meditative stabilization is not form appearing to a sense consciousness. Rather, it is only a mental object imputed by the mind. So, of course, when we are trying to develop concentration, let's say, you know, you want to focus on a particular object. First, of course, we look at it first, right? We look at it, you know, to have a clear idea on how the object looks like. But then, when we're trying to develop meditative stabilization, focusing on that object, what we are doing is, you know, focusing on the mental image of the object in our minds. You know. Of course, we look at it to get a clear idea, but we try to reproduce that image in our minds. You know. And then that image, you know, is the very thing that we focus on when trying to develop meditative stabilization. Yeah.
In the early discussion on the mental factor of discrimination, can Rinpoche explain that imputation of an object is done only by a conceptual mind? Whereas here, it seems like there are non-conceptual meditative stabilization that imputes an object. So if that's the case, then would there be any contradiction? Or if that's the case, then if it is not, then it would it be the case whereby upon attaining non-conceptuality, imputation of object no longer happens, which then incur the fallacy of this definition not applying to a non-conceptual meditative stabilization?
Let me try. Can the object of observation of a non-conceptual meditative stabilization be a non-imputed thing? Because the object of observation is said to be an imputed thing, isn't it?
Can there be imputation by non-conceptual mind? Can be.
So, yeah, in general, something that is imputed by mind, the mind may not necessarily be conceptual consciousness. Yeah.
What? Can I understand again? When you said, can I understand that? What? say something?
Things are not imputed by mind?
Yeah, so all the while I thought that there can be imputation by non-conceptual mind, positing.
Hmm? What?
There can be imputation or positing or labeling by non-conceptual sense consciousnesses. Because we understand from special insight class that, you know, even the sense consciousness imputes object. But then during the discussion on the mental factor of discrimination, where I asked the question on imputation of imputing and designating an object by non-conceptual mind, Ken Richard explained that that imputation is done by a conceptual consciousness only.
三毛子们读写，赵老师们读写，谁读？发生一下了吧？赵老师们读写，谁的？别别别，都把它想了，说清楚。三毛子们读写，谁读？干嘛？啊，东北写不写的多？干嘛？东西的写，济南的。
So, if you remember, you know, discrimination is discrimination apprehending a sign, discrimination apprehending a mark. Discrimination apprehending a sign is sense consciousness, right? Right. Sense consciousness, right? And
understand.
And discrimination apprehending a mark is considered to be mental consciousness. Yeah. And mental consciousness, and primarily conceptual consciousness. So, okay. Discrimination apprehending sign and discrimination apprehending mark, yeah. So related to, respectively, to sense consciousness and mental consciousness. So the question now is that, does the sense consciousness imputes, yeah, or designates, basically? Like, does an eye consciousness designate that this is form? Similarly, then, how does a mental consciousness designate, yeah, something? So I guess when you think about it, perhaps it's not really necessary for designation to be or imputation to be done by conceptual consciousness. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But in regards to this imputed thing, when you're trying to meditate, let's say, we posit that object of observation, you know, for developing meditative stabilization, that object observation is essentially an appearance to the mind, isn't it? An appearance which is appearing to this mental consciousness, yeah. And because it is in this appearance appearing to this mental consciousness, and from that perspective we say it is imputed, yeah. Appearing to mind. Yeah, so I guess this is what is the text is trying to say, yeah, when we say that the object observation is the imputed thing. Is that which is that appearance, you know, which is appearing to the mental consciousness.
Yeah.
So nowadays And nowadays, I think it's in relation to the author's time. Yeah. I think he lived a couple of hundred years ago. I think now worse, maybe. Nowadays, it seems that there are some instructions at odds with the wordings of the conqueror's scriptures that clearly teach the method of performing staring meditation within observation of a form appearing to an eye consciousness. However, Arya Asanga clearly stated that meditative stabilization is not produced in sense consciousnesses. Rather, it is only produced in a mental consciousness. Moreover, its object of observation is not form appearing to a sense consciousness. Rather, it is only a mental object imputed by the mind. Okay, anyway, I don't understand what Kenomichi is saying, but but essentially, this is what he said. If you stare at a cup, and you don't get distracted, you know, but you just stare at it, you don't see the cup clearly. But I said, I see very clearly.
Look at the cup of the picture, or any picture, you know, in order not to distract you, the picture must be blur. Okay? If picture is clear, your eye consciousness is always distracted. Yeah. So your eye, I don't know, when you look at the picture, is not so, you know, you are stable, then you see clear, but you see many up and down, different pictures. You know? If your eyes very focused, the object, no distraction, even people go in front of you, doesn't bother you, that time the, even you don't see the picture very clearly. But you're very concentrated. Yeah? I think so. That's why when you see this kind of picture, you know, or some kind of...
Those three... What you call that? The 3D thingy, right? You see an image in an image, right?
When you put your finger like that, don't touch. You blur your eye. Then you see another finger between there. Not touching. You try, you can see. You look clearly, you don't see that. You concentrate, you don't see. It's very clear too, you know. When you blur, nothing distract, you see another finger between there. So, I thought...
E.T.
Huh?
E.T. right?
Huh? What?
E.T. come home.
You see? Yeah, you see, yeah? One finger there, yeah? Not touching, yeah, something. Magic. Magic finger is there between there. But you really look very clearly, you know, you don't see. So, I don't know. Also, last time I saw some people meditate like that. Long time ago, so they opened the eye. Look at the picture, you look like that. I never close it. 1-2 hours, just like that. You really want to see clear the picture, I think your eye will blink. So what I'm trying to say here, what Dukchini, Chazan, the Ongshiki, Tengenzi, Tubedi, the Kapu Yinashi. That, Tinti, Mendo, Sungu, Hatam, Ongshiki, Tubedi, Mare. Tinti, Chazan, Tengenzi, Tubedi, Yudi, Sebu, Chaku, Gwore. Ani, Maya, Wache. Sebu tu tu es.
那些个没得那些，忙起来我就天天吃个药了，等于是中国人生的忙起来都天天跟我待在一起，身体不有了些，有些不吃都要嘛。
So yeah, so developing meditative stabilization means you know when you are trying to develop meditative stabilization, you focus on an chosen object. There's the factor of stability, but there is also the factor of clarity. What you're trying to do is achieve this too, right? So you know, focusing on an object with your eye consciousness. You may be able to, you know, stay on the object, but perhaps the clarity is not that great. Yeah. So this is like the laxity that is experienced by people who are trying to develop concentration, yeah, isn't it? So after a while, if you try, I mean, you can kind of place your mind on an object, okay? Yeah. But the object, your mind is placed on the object, you don't move, but it's not vibrant, it's not clear, you know. Right? So that's what we call laxity, isn't it? Okay, so in short, meditative stabilization is generated in a mental consciousness, not a sense consciousness. The object of observation is not the form that is appearing to a sense consciousness, but rather by looking at an object, then we recreate, you know, that object in our minds, you know, so we make an image of the object in our minds, and then we focus on that image, the mental image, yeah. So, can one achieve meditative stabilization by focusing on the breath? You're moving, the object is moving. And you're breathing in and out. Is it an imputed thing? Does an object of observation for meditative stabilization necessarily an imputed thing? Huh? So how? Can develop concentration using breath or not? Huh? So your mind goes in, goes up, goes in, goes out. Yes, because Buddha said so, is it? Okay, then the text brings up a qualm. Well then, does the object of meditative stabilization definitely have to be a real object? Answer is no. Whether the object be real or erroneous, if one attentively familiarizes oneself with it internally over and over again, clear appearance and non-conceptuality with respect to that object will arise. It is just as it has been said in the commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition, Therefore, utmost familiarization with whatever, whether real or unreal, results in a clear non-conceptual mind when that familiarization is thoroughly completed. So, then how do we posit the difference between a real and unreal object here? Existent, non-existent? Huh? You cannot meditate on sky flower?
How you differentiate here? Real, what? Unreal. What is real? What is unreal?
So, do you think real and unreal is differentiated depending on whether the object in question is an existent or not?
Huh?
You can meditate on a rabbit's horn. Well, there's no such thing, but you can conceive of a rabbit's horn, then you meditate on it, right? No?
We can imagine the rabbit had the horn. Huh? You have some kind of picture in your mind. Rabbit had the horn. Huh? So you can meditate on that image, isn't it? Huh? Or no? Good. Do that.
So, rabbit's horn is something, it is a non-existent. And it is something that it is not possible. Yeah, it's something that is not possible to exist. An existence of which is impossible. Yeah. So I'm not sure whether real here refers to an existent and unreal refers to a non-existent. So if you choose to meditate on the rabbit's horn, the rabbit's horn here is not something that appears to the sense consciousness. Well, it doesn't appear. I mean, it is a non-existent. Yeah, but it is entirely possible to have a mental image of a rabbit's horn. And if you do decide to meditate on the rabbit's horn, you're essentially what is your object observation? the mental image, isn't it?
Well, in the Chinese, I mean, so I'm not sure, yeah, what they mean. Yeah, yangta, yangta, mai ba se kali. I don't think so. I think that maybe, yeah, you can get maybe better idea next time, I'm not sure. Auto Tirisha, Tinema.
Familiar term value.
Auto Chin, that to that, Katarishmana Shire, that Zozo, Tinajin, Shiledi, that Shepa gave it, Dinja said Zozo, Anishita, Safon Kiela Sunguare, Ravakasana.
So the functional feature of meditative stabilization is specified to be acting as a support for knowledge. Yeah. So it acts as a support for generating special insights. So the root of samsara, the root of cyclic existence, is the ignorance. Yeah. Basically, is the afflictions of which the root is ignorance. In order to destroy ignorance, we first have to develop calm abiding. On independence of our calm abiding, then one achieves a special insight. When you have a special insight focusing on emptiness, then you will then have, come to have in your hands. Finally, the direct antidote to the afflictions. So this is what is mentioned in the engaging in the Bodhisattva deeds. Yeah. Having understood that afflictions are destroyed by special insight that is fully endowed with calm abiding, first, seek calm abiding that is achieved through taking joy in non-attachment to the world. Also, the scripture on discipline repeatedly teaches the ways in which the training in meditative stabilization depends on the training in ethics. And the training in wisdom depends on the training in meditative stabilization. In this manner, those who wish for liberation from their hearts should regard these great texts as supreme quintessential instructions. So again, this paragraph is saying something very important. Yeah, how important it is to learn the teachings. Yeah, even in the context of someone who is seeking to develop a single pointedness of mind. Before you can do that, you must know exactly what on earth you're trying to achieve. You know? What exactly is meditative stabilization? And what are the objects that you can focus you can choose to meditate on. And then and you also have to know, for example, how meditative stabilization is achieved in the mental consciousness, not a sense consciousness, for example. So without learning how to achieve meditative stabilization, without studying, and then even though if you wish to achieve karma abiding, you may spend your life, you know, trying to practice, and then you may spend your life, whole life, thinking that you're actually practicing the right thing to achieve karma abiding, but you never achieve your goal, and then in that way you waste your whole life, you know, you waste your whole life thinking that you're actually achieving something. So therefore, that's very important. Just using this example is very important to learn, yeah, to study.
Yeah.
So Lam Tsong Kapa Jay Rumshi talks about the, basically saying how important, right, it is to study the great texts, yeah, the great treatises, yeah. In particular, you know, looking at the texts of the great Indian masters, yeah, because everything, you know, all of them, you have to trace back to these great Indian masters. And here, in this context of developing meditative stabilization, the primary source that is often cited is the text of Arya Sangha.
Yeah.
And all these great Indian masters, you know, all their compositions and explanations of the Buddha's teachings basically can be traced back to the Buddha himself. Yeah. So this is very important, the purity of the source. Yeah. So it is important to rely on unmistaken explanations. So while it is really difficult to achieve meditative stabilization, single pointedness of mind, but at least what we can do is to place, you know, special imprints, predispositions, to be able to achieve it in the future. And by at least, you know, at least now, we can, at least by gaining a complete correct understanding of how to do it, you know, what exactly is meditative stabilization, how to do it, you know. So with these special, by placing these special imprints in the mind, then there's always hope, you know, in the future, you know. So the extensive explanation on cultivating meditative stabilization is found in the Lam Rim Chenmo, yeah, the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. Okay, but here, in the context of discussing the 51 mental factors, here, you know, we're just essentially, you know, giving, you know, looking at just the entity of meditative stabilization. Yeah. Okay, so we will look at the last object ascertaining mental factor next lesson, yeah, wisdom. And then we will then look as, go through the 11 virtuous mental factors. So if you can read that on your own, it will be very good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is not difficult. Yeah, it's quite straightforward. You just go through the 11 mental factors to read. Yeah. So it's very important that you read, you know. Okay, so we'll finish off with the usual prayers. So